The Mace Fingan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingan, and David Janes here with you. Before we get back to Willie's 10 pressing Titans questions, there is some breaking Titans news, according to Adam Schefter. Former Panthers defensive tackle Shai Tuttle, released today, intends to sign a one-year deal with the Tennessee Titans, per Drew Rosenhaus and Kyle Lincoln. John Glennon says the 6'3", 300-pound Tuttle, VFL, a former Vol, that's a big deal always, right, is a six-year vet, first 4 years with the Saints and the last two with the Panthers. Over the last 4 years, has started 61 games and averaged 47 tackles, has added 2.5 sacks and 5 tackles for loss. So, according to Adam Schefter, former Panthers defensive tackle and Tennessee Volunteers defensive tackle Shai Tuttle intends to sign a one-year deal with the Tennessee Titans.
Well, that's the depth. That's part of the depth that we've been talking about. That Trevor talked about earlier, that they're going to need, whether it be the offensive line or the defensive line. He talked particularly about the defensive line, adding, some guys that can rotate with Simmons and Sweat and those guys. And Shai Tuttle seems to fit what they want to do from a defensive standpoint. And he's a veteran guy that you can throw in there and know and trust that he's going to do what you're asking him to do from a defensive standpoint.
He's played a lot. There's no question about it. He's played a lot of games, started a lot of games. I like the move, right? And I'm not sure who he replaces or what this does to bump down other guys and how they want to utilize, because Denard Wilson's scheme is pretty unique. I was listening. I passed it along to you, Adam, yesterday, but I'll do the same to you, D. Mason. Mm-hmm. Just listening to some different podcasts we really haven't talked about the defense anywhere close to as much as we have the offense. But I am curious about the subtleties and Denard Wilson, and from year one to year two, what he's been able to do on the margins to just help everybody get a little bit better matchups, to try to be more than the sum of the parts. We know it's not loaded. It's not a defense that's loaded with studs, right? He's got to make it work with some limited guys in there around Simmons and Sweat. But, I just wonder what a guy like Tuttle can do. He's going to be 30. Let's see. Exactly in just a few weeks, he'll be 30 years old. So maybe not over the hill, but a guy that's very experienced.
In 32 games, according to the Charlotte Observer, Tuttle produced 89 tackles, a half sack, and 8 pass breakups for the Panthers. So according to Adam Schefter, Shai Tuttle, VFL, Vol for life, will be joining the Tennessee Titans on a one-year deal after being released by the Carolina Panthers. Willie, to answer your question, I'm sure that either James Lynch or Timmy Horn is not resting easy at the moment on the defensive line behind Jeffrey Simmons, Tavondre Sweat, and Sebastian Joseph Day. So I assume one of those two players will be cut to make room for Shai Tuttle.
Can we make sure that everybody knows, don't look at the sack totals and say this is the guy's good or not good. He's an interior defensive line. He's a nose tackle. He's a big dude, right? He's not there for the pass rush. So that is the question everybody's going to have, is who is going to sack the quarterback? How do they do that? But I think what they're trying to do is, if they can put themselves in better position on first and second down and they create more third and longs, maybe that will help the pass rush some. Maybe create more situations where they can get turnovers. But, this is a fascinating thing to me. With all these little moves and you've got a new general manager, can you help Denard Wilson a little bit with better numbers and just better guys who fit the roles of the type of defense he wants to run?
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kyle. Kyle, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. I heard y'all talking about running backs earlier for Washington. Got me wondering about how they protected Jaden Daniels last year. Who do you think will be Cam's main weapon, Tony Pollard or Calvin Ridley. Who has more all-purpose yards? And with that, I would like to say Calvin Ridley probably will with 1,400.
Thanks, Kyle. What do you guys think?
Listen, I would. What would be beneficial to the quarterback is that he has a very good run game. So I want to lean more on the improved offensive line and Pollard, you know, the trust, or who will become his number one guy. But it's different because, you know, the running back is going to get his hands on the ball more times than, say, Calvin Ridley will. He'll get an opportunity to run the ball more than Calvin Ridley will catching the ball. So, I mean, both of them will have their roles, but if you're asking me, I think if they're doing what they need to do from a running standpoint, Calvin Ridley will get his numbers.
And you have to account for the fact that Tajay Spears will not play in at least the first four games, which means more work for Tony Pollard. Adam Schefter adds this, unsurprising, but just want to add it. Titans hold the top waiver claim spot Wednesday and will have the chance to claim any player they want before any other team. Many expect the Titans to claim multiple players off waivers Wednesday. Mike Herndon of PaulKaharski.com did this exercise, setting realistic expectations for the Titans' waiver wire claims. His research found that the team with the top waiver spot over the past 10 years claimed an average of 3.6 players. So that was 3.6 players.
That's higher than I thought.
According to Mike Herndon of PaulKaharski.com. Steven, on the Shai Tuttle signing, as reported by Adam Schefter, says, "This tells me Tavondre Sweat is not recovering quickly from his tonsillectomy." Now, I've never had a tonsillectomy. I've also never had my wisdom teeth removed. I have had some dental work done. But I don't know how long it takes to recover from a tonsillectomy. But I do wonder, Willie, about Tavondre Sweat. He's expected to be ready for week one, if I remember correctly, based on what Brian Callahan said a few days ago. But Tavondre Sweat was a non-factor, really, in training camp and in the preseason. So I wonder what he's going to be like not having all of those practice reps throughout training camp in the preseason, assuming he starts week one.
That's a good point because I think he'll be ready for week one, but he has missed basically all of training camp. He was there, what, the first day or two? And he had the abdominal thing and then the tonsillitis.
Right.
So that's a long time to miss and just expect to jump in there and do well. This is the kind of thing we ironically thought would happen to him last year, and he basically didn't miss anything. So he's built up some benefit of the doubt, and you do have some time between now. It's like we're all geared up because we got college football this weekend, but the fact is you still got a lot of time before you play a game. But D-Mace, as you've said all the time, right, you can stay in shape, you can work through it, but there's, you know, sharpening yourself up to play a game, I am a little concerned.
Yeah, that's my big concern about Sweat, because he hasn't been on the field much because of, you know, what's going on with him medically. So that's my concern. How long will it take for him to get up to speed from a physical standpoint? Because, again, I'm sure he's been running. I'm sure he's been lifting. I'm sure he's been trying to simulate practice as best he can. But until you're out there, you can't do it. I mean, there's a lot. It's not just running and lifting weights. It's a lot of other stuff that your body just has to get used to. And he hasn't gotten, at least this year, enough of that. So I am concerned about, at least early on with him, especially like soft tissue injuries. That's what it's not like. I'm not talking about an ACL or anything like that. I'm talking about soft tissue injuries because he hasn't been out there working the way he was last year.
Let's throw this in there. Sure. Not that I am a doctor at all, but I can hit Google on my computer just the same as everybody else, right? And I've never had tonsillitis, as you mentioned, Adam. But I do get a little concerned about this. Tonsillitis, because of the nature of it, you can't swallow very well. You know, we all, maybe if you're a certain age, you remember when one of the Brady kids got the tonsillitis and all you could eat is ice cream, or, you can't eat as much, right? So he probably lost some weight, T-Sweat, right? So trying to build back your regular body. Remember what happened to Skowronski when he had the appendectomy? it set him back. You know, it's, so it could take a little longer. Another one on the top of my mind is Mookie Betts. He got sick. It wasn't tonsillitis, but he got a weird illness when the season started in Japan. He lost a bunch of weight, and he's had by far his worst year. It took him a long time. He's now hitting the ball very well. Now he's playing like himself, but it took months to get back. I hope that doesn't happen with Sweat. But I think a lot of times you're like, oh, tonsillitis. It's not like a you know, broken leg or something. He should be fine. But it does, if he lost some weight and he couldn't move around for a while and he couldn't eat the way he normally does, you know, we're talking about Sweat. Meatloaf, right? He probably couldn't eat meatloaf for a couple of days.
All right, let's get back to Willie's Titans questions, because now I'm getting hungry for meatloaf.
But I'm serious. But are you guys concerned about that? Like, I don't know. I haven't heard details about what he has dealt with, but it's been a long time since we've seen him on the field. A long time.
That is a concern. Especially, I hate to do this because Willie, as you know, going out to Colorado to call Predators games against the Avalanche. Anytime anyone brings up the altitude, I'm like, ugh, get over it.
Okay, get over it. I want to say this.
They're professional athletes, but a professional athlete who hasn't practiced much, who had his tonsils removed, and may have a hard time swallowing or breathing, plus the altitude, I do wonder about that. But I'm not a doctor.
For a guy like T. Sweat, yes, I think that would be a factor. You know, all the things that you listed, and he hasn't been out there with the fellas, you know, in the trenches with them. He's been working, but not like them. So it would affect him. I would, unless they get a lot of work out of T. Sweat for the next 2 weeks, I'm not sure they would let him play. I think that would be malpractice in itself. If a guy hasn't shown himself that he's put together practices the last 2 weeks, and then you want to throw him in a game, a guy that size, aren't you asking for him to get injured? Almost. But then again, also with the quarterback, I want to tell people, because I've heard this morning, the altitude with the quarterback. The altitude don't affect the quarterback.
Name names. Who said it?
He don't. I'm just saying, like, no, it was callers calling in talking about the altitude. The altitude ain't going to – I've never saw any quarterback that I played with complain about the altitude at that position.
It's an easy narrative.
You may have to adjust your football a little bit because of the altitude, yes. But if you're talking about they're not gonna get tired like that.
As Willie knows, it's an easy narrative whenever a team goes to Denver in any professional sport. Yep. The altitude, it's so high up there. It's a mile high.
And it is a real thing, right?
Yeah, it can.
It is something. There's a reason why the best runners in the world trained at high altitude, because it is a thing, right? You condition yourself to it. But I think you probably learned a lot more about it now than there was 30 years ago or 40 years ago, fair to say?
Yes.
How to deal with it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of stuff, you know, whether it be they get in those hyperbaric chambers and all this other stuff that these guys use nowadays, believe me, they have science now. So people, I know the altitude is high and you can get out of breath, but these guys have been training, and I'm sure the science has come around to where the effects aren't like they would what they used to be.
Joel on our text line says, unless there was some sort of complication or infection, he should be able to eat fairly normally in a week or so. My daughter recently had hers out and she was totally back to normal after 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, 2 weeks is a lot to football if you're not practicing and you can't eat.
Yeah.
When you're 300 and whatever pounds, I haven't checked the weight.
There's a reason why they call it meatloaf.
I remember the first time I went to Denver, and I was like, oh, the altitude. I was afraid that I was going to start huffing and puffing just walking down the street. I know it's a little bit different versus playing a sport at a high level, but I was like, oh, this is not so bad. I can walk. I can breathe. Look at me. I'm well-conditioned. Not at all, at least compared to professional athletes. But Steven again. Well, yeah, Steven. This is the same Steven. Thanks, Steven. The shy title signing tells me Sweat won't be ready. Dustin in Hopkinsville says, the Broncos play in it 50%. They practice in it most of the time. There is an edge because our players don't do all that. It's an edge. I'm not saying it isn't an edge. I personally believe that the altitude more is made of it than actually happens, for lack of a better word to say it. Joey from Bellevue says, Willie, do the Predators have a tough time playing in Denver with the altitude?
They didn't when the Avalanche were terrible, right? They did when Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar and all those guys started playing. The hockey players do talk about it. Andrew Burnett is a good example. He played for the Avalanche, and he also played against the Avalanche. And he does know that you feel it. And, you know, every hockey player will tell you, especially the way you play hockey, you know, you go full out for a shift for 45 seconds, and then you take a break, and then you're going back in there. It is a unique sport in that regard with your aerobic or anaerobic kind of stuff. So they feel it. There's no doubt. But, you know, it's like when you're a competitor, teammates, there's nothing you can do about it, right? If you think about it too much, it probably is going to affect you more. If you just go and you tell everybody, hey, keep your shifts a little shorter or just be aware of it, don't let it beat you, right? Don't let it mentally beat you.
Yeah, I mean, that first couple of minutes, just like any game, whether you're in altitude or not, that first 3-4 minutes of a game or that first series of a game, you're out of breath anyway. It's your adrenaline is going, and, you know, it's just like, man, it's like I never worked out in my life. But your body is settling itself into the moment. And then once you get settled in after that, you're fine. So I think that's what's going to happen. That's what typically happens when you're playing in that altitude, unless you just don't take care of yourself.
This was quite the scientific segment. Yeah. I did not plan this. We talked about tonsillitis.
We can do it all.
And altitude. Call us Bill Nye, the science guys. 615-737-1025.
Do we need to call Bill?
We do need to call Bill.
Yeah.
Bill.
Bill Nye, the science guy. Anyway, 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans reportedly signing Shai Tuttle, recently released by the Carolina Panthers. 615-737-1025. You can also share your tonsillectomy stories if you want. Who cares? 615-737-1025. But coming up next, let's get back to the Titans questions. Willie Donick set the over-under for Cam Ward starts at 13.5 in his rookie season. Derek and I took the over. Willie took the under. Where do you stand? 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 the game. That's the good stuff, David James. A little Bill Nye the Science Guy for you. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025 the game. We've been meaning to get to it, so let's get to it. Question two of Willie Donick's 10 pressing Titans questions. How many games will Cam Ward start in his rookie season? The over-under has been set at 13.5. 615-737-1025. Let's get to your reaction. One texter says, over, easily. Better O-line plus Callahan knows protecting him and keeping him up is his only chance to not get fired. Means he's going to implement quicker schemes and max protect with tight end on dropbacks. Another texter says, I think he plays over. He seems poised and not a risk taker with his legs, but alas, we're the Titans, something bad is bound to happen. But texter still taking the over.
Fatalism.
One texter says, the main reason to take the over is because Cam Ward isn't Will Levis. Much smarter player with much better pocket awareness. They can't pull Cam because Callahan's job depends on him. So let's unpack that last sentence. Mm-hmm. Because last season, as Willie mentioned earlier in the show, Brian Callahan inherited Will Levis. He was not a member of the organization when Will Levis was drafted. And Cam Ward, of course, a lot is riding on Cam Ward. A lot of jobs are riding on Cam Ward's performance. The other aspect of it as well is that behind Will Levis, you had, in theory, a competent backup quarterback who had started games in the NFL in Mason Rudolph versus Brandon Allen. I mean, I would take neither of them if given the choice, but Mason Rudolph at least had started meaningful games in the NFL versus Brandon Allen. So there was at least a quote-unquote competent backup quarterback behind Will Levis. So the idea, Willie, that Cam Ward is going to hit the over because Brian Callahan can't pull him because his job depends on him. What do you think?
I think you don't really you can set out with that idea, but as it evolves, only as it evolves can you know. Like it, we had this debate a lot last year of is there a right time, and I think we discussed it in the context of Bryce Young. Right, there was a time where they hit the pause button on Bryce Young, and they put in Andy Dalton for a few weeks, and
yes.
There were a lot of people that said, maybe this is it. They're moving on. But they eventually put Bryce Young back in, and I think he did a little bit better after he was gone in a tough setting, right? We know Carolina has not been a really good team the last few years, and there seems to be more optimism that he'll get it done. You're not hearing the same thing about him as you are with Anthony Richardson. So I'm not ruling that out. Sometimes that just may be the best thing, even though you don't want to do that.
By the way, Derek, before you respond, so I don't forget, Bryce Young, after returning to the starting job following being benched for Andy Dalton, started 10 games, went 4-6, had a completion percentage of 61.8%, 2,104 passing yards, 15 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
So that maybe you could argue that that helped him, right? Taking a little break.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. So he can kind of sort of sit back and watch some things. But then I think they changed some things up schematically for him that made it a little bit easier. But another reason why I'm picking the over for Cam Ward is because even though you draft the quarterback number one overall, and people are thinking, oh, man, here we go. We're going to start throwing the ball around the yard. We're going to be that new innovative team. You know, you're going to see crosses. You're going to see everything that McVay and all these other, so-called geniuses of offenses do. So we're going to see that now with Cam Ward and Brian Callahan. I don't think that's the case. I think the best thing for him, it would be to run the football as much as you can. Solidify your ability to run the football first and foremost. That is another reason why I think they went and got this massive offensive line, because this is a big offensive line now, because they want to be able to maul people all while pass protecting too. But our first thing is to run the football and run it effectively, because if they do that, it makes the quarterback job easier. So that's one reason I believe they're going to be able to keep him upright for all 17 games is because of that.
I decided to look up how many sacks the five quarterbacks. So there have been five rookie first round quarterbacks in the 17 game era. So since 2021 to start all 17 games, Jaden Daniels, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Bo Nix, and Caleb Williams. So I was curious how many sacks each of those quarterbacks took in their rookie seasons. As Willie mentioned, the Chicago Bears allowed 68 sacks last season, which was the worst in the NFL.
Now, who gave up 85 sacks?
That was the Giants 2 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Oof, 85.
Woo.
There was a
good
Monday
Lord,
night game
man.
That just got out of control. And I can't remember who they were playing, but it was double digits in that game.
Good Lord. But 85 sacks? Gosh.
85 sacks.
So the Chicago Bears allowed 68 sacks last season, which was the worst total in the NFL. Conversely, the Denver Broncos with Bo Nix, 24 sacks allowed last season, which was tied for third with the Baltimore Ravens. The Washington Commanders were near the bottom of the league. They allowed 50 sacks last season. So I was curious about that. I'll quickly go to 2021, which is when Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence started 17 games each. The New England Patriots allowed 28 sacks in Mac Jones's rookie season. The Jaguars allowed 32. So just some context in terms of the sacks allowed by those teams with the rookie quarterbacks taken in the first round who started all 17 games. One texter wants to know how good the Commanders were at running the ball last season. This includes Jaden Daniels, by the way. But the Washington Commanders averaged 154.1 rushing yards per game, which was third most in the NFL behind Baltimore and Philadelphia, both of which have really good running quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I'll have to see just isolated to running backs. Mm-hmm. But the Commanders as a whole had the third most rushing yards per game last season.
And Daniels had what, 890 or something? He had a lot of rushing yards. So there is something to be said, too, of one of the things that Will Levis did not do well at was avoiding contact when possible. And we have yet to really see if Cam Ward's going to be able to do that. We know he doesn't look to run a ton. Lewis Riddick's scouting report of Cam Ward is a little more in the Patrick Mahomes mold of run when you need to. You're just good enough to do it, to keep him honest. But the key is to not get yourself hit. Like, well, Will Levis was always taking shots.
Yeah, he ain't know how to
fall. And you knew it was probably a matter of time.
He ain't know how to get down. But the Commanders rushed for minus Jaden Daniels about 1,700 yards, minus Jaden Daniels. He rushed for almost 900 yards. He had 891. So they established their run game, and a part of it was Jaden Daniels, but Cam Ward is not that type of quarterback. But you don't want him doing the things that Will Levis did last year to sort of expose himself to those hard hits. So if he can minimize those, I think Brian Callahan is going to do it. He's going to try to do a great job at taking a lot of pressure off of him by running the football.
Chad on our text line says, there is no veteran backup to bench Cam Ward for. I expect 17. And we used the example of Bryce Young a few moments ago. Andy Dalton, been around for a while, versus Brandon Allen, who, if my memory serves, has 10 career starts in the NFL. So I do think that plays into it. I also believe that Cam Ward, by default, will be much better at avoiding sacks than Will Levis. Again, I mentioned this earlier this week and last week and probably the week before and the week before. Will Levis had the worst pressure to sack percentage in the NFL last season. 30.4% of Will Levis's pressures that he faced turned into sacks. Cam Ward, by the way, in his final season in Miami, I know it's different, college and the pros, but in his final season in Miami, had a pressure-to-sack ratio of 15.9%, so nearly half. It's different, of course, in the pros versus college, but Cam Ward was middle of the pack in college football last season in avoiding sacks when pressured, but just the fact that it's not going to be Will Levis, Willie, which is what we talked about yesterday with your first Titans question about the number of sacks, makes me feel better about all of this and Cam Ward staying upright and being able to start all 17 games.
I'm optimistic. I went under, though, just because of so many things. I just think there's still so many limitations, and it won't take much to have it get down. Just even if he started 12 or 13 games, that's still a decent amount. It's just a gut feeling as much as anything, but it's a key stat, which is why we throw it out there. Keeping him upright, keeping him supported is a huge, huge theme, even more so than the amount of wins.
Derek, I know you took the over on 13.5. Did you put a specific number on the number of starts?
I didn't. I am more in line with you, Adam. I think he's going to play all 17 games.
Okay. Join me on that limb.
Because if I'm saying 13.5, I don't expect him to miss a game. I really don't. But since the 13.5, you know, it was an over-under thing, I picked the over. But I expect him to play every game.
Willie, put a number on your under.
I'm going to say a dozen.
Okay.
That's how many Will Levis started last year. A dozen seems reasonable to me.
Does your gut tell you that it's a dozen because he gets injured at some point, or the Titans pull a Carolina Panthers and sit him for a few games after he struggles?
I think it's more likely that he just gets banged up or something sets him back. It could be something freak. I'm not trying to be skeptical. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glass half full, but it doesn't take just. It could take one freak thing to knock him out for a couple of weeks, and he comes back and maybe something else happens. So it could be two different things. It'll be close. Like, I'd be disappointed if it weren't at least 12 that he plays. And I'm just looking at the numbers. They have not kept quarterbacks very healthy the last few years.
Again, Ryan Tannehill is the last quarterback to start every game for the Tennessee Titans. That was in 2021. So they needed multiple quarterbacks in 2022 and 2023 and 2024. And if I recall off the top of my head, I think we did this exercise on the show. I was curious about the Titans quarterbacks who started every game in a season in franchise history. There have been three. Two of them did it multiple times. Ryan Tannehill did it multiple times. Steve McNair did it multiple times. And Matt Hasselbeck did it once. If I recall off the top of my head, those are the only Titans quarterbacks in Titans franchise history to start every game in a season for the Titans.
Yeah, you may be right. I can't think of any other quarterback. Vince Young didn't.
Jake Locker didn't.
Jake Locker didn't.
Marcus Mariota didn't.
No. Who else came? The Giants' old quarterback.
Kerry Collins?
Yeah, Kerry Collins didn't. Or did he?
I don't think he did.
Kerry Collins was not the opening day starter the 1 year where they ended up 13-3. Remember, they started 10-0?
Yeah.
And that was the weird game where Vince Young kind of disappeared. Was it the opening game? I think it was the opening game of the season. And Vince went out for a little bit. Kerry Collins threw a nice little screen pass. They won, and then Vince disappeared. They went with Kerry Collins. I'm trying to remember all the details, but it was one of the many dramatic things. And they just stuck with Kerry Collins for a while. But then they ended up going back to Vince Young the next year. Remember when they started 0-6 and CJ2K had his great year in the 8-8. That was a broken year between the two quarterbacks. So you're right. It's a little harder than you might realize to go out there for all 16 or all 17 games.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on this. Again, Willie has set the over-under for Cam Ward starts in his rookie season at 13.5. Are you taking the over or the under? Willie, by the way, you are the only person who has said under. Everybody
really?
Else has said over. I have not seen
Everybody's
many...
ignoring history.
Perhaps they are blinded by their optimism.
I think the recency bias of the last few guys that have done it, like Daniels and Caleb Williams and Bo Nix, that probably has you much more optimistic. But I'm looking at just so many rookies that have struggles of some kind. And you know what I think is an overwhelming thing, too, is the belief that they just won't put Brandon Allen in there. It'd have to get so bad for them to want to put Brandon Allen in there. So I could be wrong. We'll see. Maybe you will laugh 8 weeks in that I'm wrong. I'd love to be wrong on that one.
615-737-1025. We will wrap up the show next. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Dunnick, 1025 The Game. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. A reminder, tomorrow, 5:20, the return of Silly Underdog Picks, season number 31. Right, Willie?
Correct.
Season number 31 of Silly Underdog Picks. We have four contestants. The defending champion, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason, myself, and a mystery contestant. A rookie who will be revealed tomorrow at 5:20.
Can't wait.
I'll give you a hint. He's tall.
Nashville sports fans, particularly those who are fans of the local professional hockey team, know and love this mystery contestant. He will be revealed tomorrow at 5:20. And be sure to be listening because we plan to have the people's pick and we have a prize associated with the people's pick. So be sure to be listening to participate and potentially win at 615-737-1025. That is tomorrow at 5:20, the return of Silly Underdog Picks. Willie, during the break, we did find somebody who agrees with you. B-Man says, I'm with you, Willie. I say 10 games max. I've seen this movie too many times.
Yeah, I felt like I wasn't the only guy. And listen, how ironic it is that I'm the guy that's taking the pessimistic view of this. I'm surprised at the optimism of so many. I tried to set the number at one that would be really divided, right, of of over and under. That sounds really reasonable, but I had 14.5 as the over-under the last 2 years, and neither guy hit it.
Derek, before you respond, one texter is attempting to guess our mystery contestant by saying Big Sexy. No, it is not Michael McCarron. It is not Michael McCarron, who is tall. But our mystery contestant, who will be revealed tomorrow at 5:20, is not Michael McCarron.
No,
it's not Michael McCarron, but he does have a nickname. And I will say that this particular individual has been working extremely hard with a team of associates to put together the data.
This seems fishy. I don't like this. I don't
This. It seems like,
I smell collusion.
Like, yes. Yes, Willie. Are you a part of this?
No rule against.
Are you a part of this?
I am not a part of this. I am just the commissioner. I administer. I try to.
Did y'all have any like sad deals or sad conversations?
Look, would you really want to listen to me anyway? I'm not Mr. Prognosticator at all. I did not win the Take It to the Bank by any stretch. I finished third. I think finished behind both of you guys.
And by the way, Take It to the Bank starts up again for real on Friday.
On Friday.
At 5:45.
Speaking of that, I need to hire my own team for that because I didn't do very well last year. But there's nothing against bouncing some things off of some colleagues, some experts behind the scenes before you take to the microphone, right? That's not.
Come on, he can't. He can't
Philly
be
underdog.
You know what? Let him do it.
It's all fine until he starts winning.
I was just about to say, as David said, just wait until this person starts winning. I smell collusion.
Yes, we will bring it up. It has been brought up.
Who do you think Chris Sanders was able to collude with last year when he picked Michigan and Michigan over Ohio State?
He was
Vanderbilt over Alabama and some of the other ones he had.
He did not have Vanderbilt over Alabama. No, he had Vanderbilt over Virginia Tech.
Yes.
None of us were brave enough to take Vanderbilt over Alabama. Shame on us.
Even though I said, when they do win, Willie, you better be helping them take the goalpost to the Cumberland. And what happened? They took the goalpost to the Cumberland, but I don't know if Willie was there.
I don't think Willie took part.
No, I don't think
Willie took part. I didn't do it. I watched it on video or in real time as it was all these great pictures were being taken from all around downtown as they were making their way up West End. We did call for it though, right?
Yes, we did.
Called for it on the way out.
Well, we were not brave enough to pick it.
On Friday afternoon before we signed off, Derek said, that goalpost better end up in the Cumberland.
Oh yeah. What happened?
And it did.
Yes.
It did.
And it did. By the way,
you're right. That's a good point that Chris Sanders, but the boom and bust.
He didn't consult nobody. Sanders, he doesn't consult nobody. He just picks.
You don't think he consults
no,
any experts?
He doesn't.
In deep, dark corners?
No.
How many people do you think would have said, no, don't pick Michigan over Ohio State?
As I texted him this morning, I don't know how he has been able to sleep at night over the past several months because of that treasonous act. Picking Michigan over Ohio State. Derek would never.
Oh, not hell
even the,
no.
Not even in the name of winning silly underdog
picks. If it was between me winning silly underdogs and me picking Michigan to beat Michigan, no, I'm never picking it. I don't care if Michigan State, if Michigan State's all their players were just done, like they all couldn't play and they had a bunch of backups. I mean, guys that were playing intramural, I still wouldn't pick the Wolverines.
By the way, there are some guesses as to who our mystery contestant is.
Ooh.
I can neither confirm nor deny Zach, Tommy, Neil. I can neither confirm nor deny.
It's not Pecorine.
It is not Pecorine, though. That would be interesting.
I'm not sure
how much college football or football in general Pecca watches. But
this person does have a football background.
Okay. Okay.
So he does. Oh, I just revealed it's a he, but he does have a football background.
Or she.
Or she.
So, Gino, speaking of Bill Nye, the science guy, we are going to need Bill Nye to answer this text from Gino. Okay. Gino says, Willie says he is a glass half full guy. But if somebody is drinking the water and puts it down, it's half empty. If somebody is pouring water into the glass but stops halfway, it's half full. Scientific question. If somebody walks up to just a glass sitting there with water halfway, is it half full or half empty? It's half empty because the water is evaporating, so it's getting less and less until it's all gone.
No, but that person just could have poured it in the glass right before.
I am not smart enough to answer this question.
Right before you walked up. So it's your perspective. Do you see it as half full or do you see it as half empty? I would see it as, man, that's half full. I like that.
What do you think, Willie?
All I know is you get much more educated by listening to our show because we have a bell for good vocabulary, and now we're adding science to vocabulary. We also, of course, always have history lessons, so you're getting a full academic load.
All while getting sports.
And hopefully, right, hopefully in a fun way, right? That's what Bill Nye is all about.
And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that guy is wrong, that the water's not
evaporating. I don't know if he's wrong either.
I'm just saying when I look at the cup upon first walking up to it, I'm thinking cup half full. That's just me.
I think we should be double dipping. We should be paid to be on the air, but also be SAT tutors.
Ooh. You tutored SAT, didn't you?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
I look smarter than I actually am.
Those
big ass glasses.
His bag.
Yes, yes. So we wait to see what waiver wire claims the Tennessee Titans are going to make, because they are going to make a lot of them, I imagine.
Well, run that number by everybody again before we get out of here. The average number that the team in the position of the Titans takes, because it's higher than I thought.
Courtesy of Mike Herndon of PaulKaharski.com, he looked at 10 years of teams that had the top waiver spot, and the average number of players claimed was 3.6. So if you want to round it up to a whole number, that would be 4.
So we set the over-under at 2.5. I think now that looks – and I don't know if it's the first day, right? It's not 3.6 average the first day, right? You could spread it out whenever you need it.
I think it might be the first day.
The first day?
I think it might be the first day.
Wow.
I'm going to go to Mike's ex and find out. Not his ex-girlfriend. His
ex-significant other.
He tweeted an hour ago. He tweeted an hour ago, the last 10 teams to have the top overall waiver position claimed, on average, 3.6 new players following roster cutdown day.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean the first day.
Yes, I guess that is true.
Second, third, fourth. But either way, I think we're all very curious because it's been a long time since they've been in this position.
Tommy says, it's half full. Mom never got on us for half-empty Coke cans sitting around, LOL. Jonathan in East Nashville says, it can be both full and empty. I'm pretty sure it's a paradox.
It's a perspective. How do you see the glass? It's like like Morpheus. Red pill, blue pill.
Well, Willie is an eternal optimist. That's what I've always admired about Willie Donick. He can find the bright side of almost anything. Which is nice.
That's why I keep you guessing because I went under.
Yeah, he went under.
For Cam. I think Cam's going to be under 13.5.
He's not thinking so optimistic today.
But the Titans,
I've had the pessimistic answer on both questions so far. Both of our
what's going on, man?
42. I don't know. Am I getting more skeptical of my old age?
I think so. You're becoming a get off my lawn guy.
To be fair,
never did I think.
To be fair,
Willie will become that guy.
Willie doesn't have much of a front lawn.
Well,
it's pretty small.
Get away from my porch, guy.
Yeah,
get away from my porch, guy.
Willie doesn't have much of a front lawn, but the Titans reportedly.
Nope. It is a very action-packed street, though, that I live on. There's a lot of traffic.
It absolutely
a lot of foot traffic.
Is. It absolutely is. The Titans have already reportedly made one addition. They are bringing in Shy Tuttle, formerly of the Carolina Panthers. He was released earlier today, I guess, by the Panthers. So that's at least one addition. We'll see what the rest of the roster looks like when we're on the air tomorrow at 3 o'clock, because there's going to be a lot of change on that initial 53-man roster. That's what happens when you have the number one waiver claim position, which the Titans have through the first 3 weeks of the season. So I imagine they will be busy turning over the roster. So we'll see what it looks like tomorrow at 3 o'clock when we are back with you. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Once again, shout out to my little dude, Arlo Vingan, 4 years old today. Love you, buddy. I don't know if you're listening. It was really weird for him once. I was driving him home, mm-hmm. and the first hour replay of our show came on mm-hmm. while I was in the car.
He was like, whoa, what's going on here?
He was very confused. He was very confused.
As he should have been.
Yes, but love you, bud. I'll see you in a little bit. Happy birthday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Happy birthday, Arlo. Hey, love on your people. Be love. Do what you need to do. I didn't forget my whole
What's
list.
What's so funny?
I didn't forget about my whole list. Be love. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful day. I love you. The show loves you. Peace.